Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome to the ATS Mix Show. This is probably episode 97. Can you believe that, Dave Rabbit?
John, you know, I know you've had your head buried so far deep in the annals. Well, I said, or is it annals? In the annals of, not annals, it's in the annals of the video that you're digging
through. Why don't
we
just call it a dungeon?
Okay,
still a dark hole, but I'm pumped.
Oh, whoa. The Gilliland Ranch video stuff that you're still going through. But, you know, I mean, what everybody doesn't know that you kind of give me kind of an insider look because, you know, we're buds and we're pals and whatever. And I have really enjoyed some of the things that you've sent me in advance of when they get put up on the site. And may I simply say, John, I couldn't be prouder of you for the amount of time that you've invested in this. My Lord, John, I don't know how you've done it. I really don't, brother.
And the sad thing is, or maybe the fortunate thing is, I've only got 50-some hours left to go.
Wow. You know, that's just mind-blowing. And I mean, I know you look at the same image over and over again. But
two
I mean,
trees and a mountain.
I love the two trees and the mountain. I think that was a Bee Gees hit at one time. But, you know,
two trees and a mountain.
You go. That's exactly the tune. But you know what's really amazing is, and nobody's going to know this until they go to the site, AboveTopSecret.com, and go to the James Gilliland, Robbie Williams thread and see the stuff that's posted there. But they're going to find, when it does get posted, some audio clips that I have been privy to listen to. And I'm telling you, John, talk about weird-o-rama. Yeah. It blows me away. I mean, it really does. You know, you had cameras rolling. Of course, you have a mic on the cameras, and it's picking up stuff that just blows me away. That
it
I don't
shouldn't
know,
have been picking it up.
Yeah, it should have been. Number one, it shouldn't have been picking it up. And number two, you can hear people in the background talking like they're carrying on their normal thing.
And that they don't hear it.
And they don't have a clue that this is going on. You know,
right.
That's what blows me away.
Yeah. In fact, several people that we've pass this on to for analysis all said the same thing, which was it's very strange that with what was captured was not obviously being heard or observed by the surrounding people that were around the camera. And you can definitely hear in numerous of these captures people talking in the background, walking around, doing their thing. Right. You would have thought that for as strange as some of these sounds were that were caught on tape, that they would have stopped talking or said, hey, did you hear that?
Yeah, exactly. And they don't do that. I mean, nobody sits there and goes, hey, what was that? I mean, you know,
right.
And that's the thing to me that really lends to the authenticity of the thing is nobody sits there and says, what was that? I mean, you know, and I mean, everybody's going to go, what the hell are Dave and Johnny talking about? When you guys hear the audio that will be on the thread, when it does get put up, you're gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. And honestly, John, you know, I sit there and listen to that stuff a dozen times, and it's just it's weird, man. I mean, it's really weird. I don't know how you could give it a plausible explanation other than the fact that it's audio that should not be there but is there, you know?
And just so that our listeners, guests, and members alike that come to AboveTopSecret.com to either watch the videos, listen to them, or just check out the site themselves, we did a number of different tests, which you're just going to have to take my word for it, that was done, which was we tried to duplicate not only the sound or sounds in some cases,
right,
but we took our field meter testers and other equipment that we had with us to try to debunk and duplicate those sounds with the equipment. We tried to find out if there was possibly, you know, anything, everything from cars passing by, electrical overhead lines, magnetic fields that may have been in the area. We tried everything and anything we could think of to try to figure out what on earth could possibly be creating or causing these type of sounds. And in fact, in one case, one of the gentlemen that we spoke to, who is very well versed in audio, said that there was no way, except in a studio and with hundreds of effects and filters, could recreate some of these sounds that we heard.
Yeah, and I mean, and you and I talked about this, and you know, there's going to be those that are going to sit there and they're going to hear this stuff and they're going to sit there and go, wow, that was somebody in the background doing that. And I'm telling you, that is ultimately BS, because when you have a professional sound engineer, and do you name him, John?
No.
Okay. Well, let's just put it this way. I know who John had listened to this stuff, and I'm telling you, you can't get any smarter, higher, or more techno geek oriented than this person that Johnny used to listen to this stuff and to give some kind of validation on could it be this or could it be that. And to have this guy sit there and say unequivocally, even in a studio, that he could not duplicate it.
No, he said he could.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd have to have the big old board and all these little gizmos, and there was none of that out there underneath that tent, you know.
No.
And that's the point. You know, that's the point.
Now, in fact, it wasn't even under a tent. The majority of what the listeners will be hearing was captured just directly out in the field, aimed at the same two damn trees and the mountain to the right.
But is this out there where you took a squat, John?
Took a what?
Took the squat, you know, the caption contest squat picture, famous squat picture.
No, that would have been to the left of the, that would have been to the left of where the static camcorder was at.
Okay, well, I just want to know, you know, because there's a, you know, because now we know that to the left of you was Robbie Williams in the photo, which I didn't show at the time because it was all top secret about Robbie Williams and
stuff. That's correct. Speaking of such, I would just like to say there are a lot of people that have not necessarily been kind in a lot of ways regarding this investigation and with the fine people that came up there with us. And I would like to just say that this is nothing more than a preliminary investigation that we had some guests join us with. And in the case of Robbie Williams, he is more well-versed than I would say 95% of the members at ATS when it comes to ufology. This guy lives and breathes UFOs, and he has been around all his life with the paranormal and UFOs, and it goes, it dates back to his mother, his grandmother, and beyond. So, I mean, he has been involved in this all his life, and I don't think it's very nice of people to judge somebody simply because of their job.
Yeah, and I'd like to reinforce what Johnny's saying and say just on my behalf that, you know, although I did not have the pleasure of being up there with Johnny, Stephen, and Mark and Robbie, you know, I did get a chance to, like everybody did, listen to the interview that the four of them did, or not the interview, but the casual conversation, I think is what we're trying to call it. You know, what this thread is about and what this whole investigation was about was going up to Gilliland Ranch, going to Mount Adams, you know, which is at the Trout Lake, Washington area, and experiencing for everyone's self what is supposedly one of the, you know, biggest areas as far as UFO Central, to see if they could find something that they could sit there and reach out and grab hold of and you know, have it something in their hand rather than the fleeting dust that, you know, as the wind blows. And you know, to sit there and give somebody static because they're a rock star or because they're this or because they're that, you know, that's really unfair, because that was not what this thing was about. It was not a publicity stunt by Robbie Williams. I'll say that emphatically. Robbie Williams was a member and still is of AboveTopSecret.com, and he approached Springer, you know, if he could tag along with his crew to do their own independent thing. And that's how this whole thing came about. And then all of a sudden, all these people are jumping on, especially like the British tabloids have come into the site and whatever and made their own little comments and stuff. But, you know, I'll
that's
just say,
how they make their money, Dave, yeah, by slamming everybody.
Yeah, but, you know, is crap. I mean, you know,
I agree.
You know, to me, here's the bottom line. It says, Johnny has said 100 times before, I have also said it, I have also posted on the thread, this is not about us selling a product to the members or to the guests that come to AboveTopSecret.com. This is about, this is what was seen in its unadulterated, unaltered state, okay? We can't say it's this, we can't say it's that. We have presented it in the way that it was seen for the members and for the guests to make their own determination. And they should be able to do that without making these innuendos about anybody up there, including the two guys from the management company and the one guy that's my partner that I dearly love, and Robbie Williams and his crew. I mean, everybody went there as an independent researcher to figure out, is there something there or is there not something there? And all anybody's ever tried to do is simply show what exactly everybody saw and for each individual to be able to make up their own mind in a decent, civil, and courteous way.
Okay.
So much for my rant.
Yeah. Wow, this is a strong intro to the show, my friend.
I love strong intros, but you know, we have a good show. I mean, we don't have a guest necessarily, but we do have what I think is probably one of the more controversial skeptic overview shows by the skeptic overlord that we've had in, I mean, almost since its inception. And I mean, the reason why I say that, John, is we talk about FEMA and the big, what everybody considers to be the Galveston West End cover-up from Hurricane Ike. We talk about McCain and his pick of Sarah Palin. We also talk about, Obama and some of the comments about that have been made and all the different things that have been posted on the site. Who has more experience, Palin and Obama? We've also talked about, which I really like, John, is the
Are you going to go down the list?
Well, I figured I would.
Take,
I didn't know if you're
going to take the suspense right out, aren't you?
Well, what the hell? I don't give a crap. Anyway, we talk about the recession. Is it a recession, more liberalized or whatever? I just want to give people some idea of the exciting things that we're talking about that are very controversial.
Well, boy, they got it.
And well, good. And then, you know, the thing that really is going to, I'm sure everybody's chomping at the bits, is the action that has been taken to end the political game on AboveTopSecret.com. by all the trolls and all the other people. So, you know, I think Bill did a marvelous job of stating the case from a member standpoint, an administration standpoint, and you know, Johnny and I put our two cents in, and, you know, people can listen to it and make their own decisions. Right, John?
And before we get to the controversial and very special skeptic overview, as Dave has already related to everybody, let's get into some international UFO reports, Dave.
You forgot to hit the power button, John.
So power over the, power yeah, so on.
Over to your left. There you go. Okay, here we go. 3, 2.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From AboveTopSecret.com.
Oh, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
Here are the latest UFO sightings for AboveTopSecret.com. This is David C. In Texas, observers viewed a very bright white object almost overhead. It appeared to be at least 8,000 feet in the sky. It was moving slowly from southeast to the northwest. It looked to be a kite sailing by. However, it had a crescent shape on one side and appeared to be changing shapes or changing its angle of orientation every second or two. Its size was about the size of a pencil eraser held out from an arm's length. The viewer stated, "I could not get a good look at the object due to its constant changing shape. I quickly laid down on the lawn so I could steady my binoculars for a better look. I am quite sure it did have a crescent shape on one side of its structure. I observed it move a good 45 degrees in the sky, coming straight overhead of my backyard orientation. It had a very intense white hue to its shape also. The only feature I could make out of its structure was its crescent side. The crescent side was only visible as it appeared to be rolling over. The crescent appeared to be in proportion with the rest of the object. After about 7 minutes of viewing, the crescent side of the object began to change color from its bright white hue into red. Within 5 seconds of the crescent changing to red, the whole object appeared to have turned red and disappeared. I scanned the sky for a good 5 minutes and could not see this object and observed nothing unusual. The sky was clear, with very little wind and very few clouds. In California, a viewer saw a large, bright, multiple-colored red, blue, green, yellow, and purple sphere shaped above,
shaped object flashing right on the tree line. The object spanned the width of at least six large pine trees directly below it. The object was definitely spear-shaped with an alternating color pattern. It arose and lowered in the sky, but never below the tree line. After about an hour, it rose to the height of 100 to 150 feet above the trees, but did not get smaller or travel along the trees in any direction. The viewer stated, "After another 5 to 10 minutes, I heard an airplane off to the west of the lake, at cruising altitude, moving much faster and much smaller than the object I was observing. The plane was gone from my sight within 5 minutes, but the object remained for at least another 20 to 25 minutes without moving in any direction." For Above Top Secret, this is David C.
This is Tamril from Godbox Cafe with sightings from across Canada. The celestial activities over northern skies has been relatively quiet, with the exception of the following. A witness in Vernon, B.C., who had previously reported sightings to HBCC UFO, had the added benefit of photographic submissions this time round. At approximately noon hour in mid-August, the witness spotted two very different objects on the same day. The one captured on camera was large, at cloud level, and cone-shaped. It would suddenly appear when the witness looked up while dog-walking and stay in view long enough to be photographed and then vanish. This occurred multiple times on various streets at different orientations. The witness described it as a rocket that could stop and hover. The second object was a white orb also hovering at cloud level, and as such was not readily visible in photos. While it moved from east to west, it would pause for a moment, then pause again as if unstable, and after 5 minutes it vanished. Meanwhile, in Edmonton, Alberta, at 1 a.m. August 13th, a witness who had also reported previous sightings once again saw a light flashing in the Big Dipper constellation. A second flash appeared beside the right top corner star, and the third flash was on the right bottom corner star, followed finally by a fourth flash below the Dipper. Same size and interval between flashes as the sighting reported in June of this year. And finally, in Mississauga, Ontario, at 12:30 a.m., two witnesses were walking home in the light of a full moon when they looked up to see a dark, triangular-shaped object with lights at the back, flying higher than commercial airplanes and at greater speed. It was difficult to discern much more as it was dark and distant. This is Tamril from Godbox Cafe, keeping my eyes to the skies for AboveTopSecret.com.
Are you ready for a close encounter of the third kind? Well, so are we. Hi, everyone. Dave Rabbit here with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. My partner, Johnny Anonymous, is waist-deep in reviewing over 120 hours of videotape that the ATS investigation team took over a period of 10 days while they were all at James Gilliland Sanctuary at Trout Lake, Washington, overlooking the beautiful Mount Adams. In addition to Mark Allen, also known as Springer, Stephen Melzer, also known as Cracker, Johnny Anonymous, also known as Johnny Anonymous, we had a very special VIP AboveTopSecret.com member that accompanied the team by the name of Robbie Williams. And in case you're one of the few people who live your life underneath a huge rock, Robbie Williams is the English singer-songwriter who has sold well over 100 million records and is in the United Kingdom Music Hall of Fame. Robbie and his crew joined Mark, Stephen, and Johnny for a casual conversation about what each of them saw over a few days at the sanctuary. So if you want to hear the Robbie Williams UFO interview at Gilliland Ranch and see some of the amazing footage that was captured there by my partner, Johnny Anonymous, you can find this incredible conversation and video on the homepage of AboveTopSecret.com, the number one alternative to mainstream media for alternative topics.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
It is the Skeptic Overview with yours truly, Johnny Anonymous, Dave Rabbit, and of course, the one and only Skeptic Overlord. Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
Well, I'll leave it to Bill to say hi.
Who are these people calling me? What? Who are you?
You're stealing Mark's line. You can't do that. You got to come up with your own creative stuff.
Well, it's been so long since we talked.
Really, I mean, really? Yes. What has it been? 3 weeks?
I don't listen to what Mark says in your show anyway, so I...
Ouch!
Ooh, sorry. Ouch. I'll let you all two work that out. Email each other. So how long has it been, Bill? I guess it's been almost a month.
I don't know.
Because it was right before the they went on the investigative thing at the James Gilliland Ranch, wasn't it?
It feels like it's at least 5 weeks, maybe six.
Yeah, I think it has been that long. I think it really has.
So through a little camping trip watching the, what was it, fireflies you guys were watching? And then,
yeah,
oh, yeah,
lots of fireflies.
I kid the field team to pull a Bill Maher.
To pull what?
Bill Maher.
He does a joke.
And he says, he does a joke about Bush. He says, I kid the president. Yeah, boy, that went over really well, didn't it?
Yeah, it went over. Yeah. Yeah, that went real high on the Johnometer.
This is going to be the longest half hour.
Yeah, you're going to pay for that comment, Bill. Trust me. I don't know when it will be, but it will be sometime in this show. Well, I mean, you know, my Lord, I mean, so much has happened. I mean, it really has. And I know a couple of things that have happened that have been just unbelievable on the site we're going to talk about. So why don't you get us started with your very first topic?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to run through some of these top threads really quick, even though we haven't covered it. It's just like, you know, I'm going to pick some of the ones that have been really popular in replies over the past 5 weeks, I think, as far as I went back.
Right.
And then we'll just cover what seems to be just overwhelming, not just ATS, but a lot of online venues where there's discussion, given what's going on with the election. We'll talk about that. I want to get your guys' feedback in that area.
Before we get started here, I have to let not only you and Dave, my partner, know this, but I've been pretty much out of the loop, you know, for about a month. I barely have a chance to even click on the internet to know what's going on. So if I seem like I'm way uninformed, more so than normally,
yeah, I'm glad you put that disclaimer.
Well, you know.
Well, you mean, well, you know.
Well, that's my comedic relief part of the
I
show.
I love that. And may yeah, go ahead. But you know, I'm going to interrupt you anyway, Bill.
but as if you had a choice, Bill.
Yeah, really. But here's the deal. I mean, you know, how many times, John? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, how many times did I call you up when you were in the absolute bottom of the barrel in the doldrums because you're looking through 120 hours of video? Did I call you up just to cheer you up and root you on, bro?
Well, usually 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah, and how many times did you really want me to call?
Every time.
Zero.
There were. You might have been able to do it 3 or 4 times less a day.
Yeah. Yeah. You can always tell when John is in his analytical anal mode, video tape, whatever he's doing there, when he says, "What do you want?" That's the way he answers the phone. That is if you can get
past. Oh, yeah. By the way, I did get that package of DVDs that you sent.
Yeah.
I got this morning.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's probably going, "Oh boy, that must."
Well,
have been.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, did you guys have a pink bedroom at Gilliland? Because it started up.
Oh, John, I think one of your private collection got in that batch of DVDs you sent him.
I just wanted to pop it right there. I wanted to check with you first.
Yeah. No, go ahead and put the one with the pink cover up. I think that might be kind of cool.
Well, anyway, yeah, you mentioned that we've a lot has gone on, and one of the things that I really, you know, didn't discuss much on ATS, just because it's been a rapid fire time during summer of all times, usually when things are slow. But August was by far our biggest month ever. We had a week of, well, 5 days, a Monday through Friday in mid-August, where each individual day would have by itself been a record-breaking traffic day. And then we had 5 of those in a row.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, just a lot of stuff happening in the economy, a couple of popular UFO threads. It really was no one particular thing. And that's just the crazy part of it. And just to put some things in perspective, the August we had just now in 2008 is more than twice the traffic that we got in August of 2007, just a year ago.
Really?
Wow.
3.5 times 2006, and 7 times the traffic of 2005.
I mean, I think that's a compliment to not only the administrative staff, the owners, the moderators, but most especially to the members of AboveTopSecret.com that make the contributions to the site. I mean, What an astounding standing O we ought to give the membership of AboveTopSecret.com.
Definitely. And some of these topics we're about to discuss are the ones that really grab the attention. Some of them, maybe not necessarily in the way we wanted, and that resulted in the fix that we've initiated. But just recently, yeah, and we'll get to the fix. The fix is
yeah.
The fix is on.
Fix. I can't wait to get a fix. Sorry.
I mean,
anyway, go ahead.
Well, that's actually, you know, that's not far from it, I guess. Anyway, the number one thread in replies, and it just grew like mad over the past few days, was Val Howe's thread about the potential for a cover-up by FEMA over the damage in the west end of Galveston, Texas. And she became real concerned as she was watching local news and did a pretty detailed write-up that FEMA had shut down cell phone access on the island. A lot of residents were really concerned about what was going on. This was going on for, I believe, almost 3 days, three full days before anything started coming out about that area of the island. And one of the things that is really concerning, and I was looking through the thread today in preparation for this, it turned into a long thread. It's already up to over 500 replies. So it's one of those threads that, you know, as you're trying to find something you thought you saw in it just yesterday, now you can't find it today.
Wow.
Right, because it's so buried, yeah.
Yeah, there is a level 4 biodefense lab on Galveston Island. Hello?
Hi, yeah. Did they figure out if it was on the western side or the eastern side? Because I know that was a query that was brought up.
Yeah, it is on the eastern side, but then that sort of created the snowball of what the hell's going on here. Because even though that's on the eastern side, then they were unable to find out the status of the lab and if there was damage and what the situation was. So that was a huge concern. And some of what's happening now also, which is coming up in this thread, is almost like this is Katrina too, because now there's also similar trouble with FEMA getting food, water, and basic supplies to rescue workers. We're not talking about the people stranded. We're talking about the people trying to get to the people.
Right.
You know, the rescue workers had gone without food or water for more than 24 hours. And so that was a huge problem as well. And it seems like it's just now starting to be alleviated. But that's a thread.
Didn't FEMA also take over the cell phone usage there?
Well, yeah, that was the big concern on Galveston Island, where they took over all of the bandwidth for the cell phone, so that the residents, the big problem where a lot of our members were concerned is we knew there were still a lot of residents on the island that would need to call for help.
Right.
And since FEMA took over all the cell phone bandwidth, they could no longer call for help.
Yeah. Now, you know, of course, being a Texan, I mean, in Dallas, I mean, I'm very familiar with the southern Texas area, and I've been to Houston numerous times, Galveston Island numerous times, and, of course, where I was stranded for over a month at Padre Island, which is an island to itself, which, by the way, boy, talk about lucky for those that were in Corpus Christi. I mean, it completely bypassed. I talked to a friend of mine that was down there, and they didn't even get any rain. I mean, they had some clouds, but they didn't get any rain. That's how amazing the turn of events was on the way it went. But anyway, back to Galveston. I mean, I've been there numerous times, and I'm telling you, these people that wanted to rough it out, that blows me away. I mean, it really blows me away because of the amount of danger they put themselves in. And then you start throwing in, you know, the secret laboratory things and all this stuff that Val Hal, you know, came up with. I mean, you know, I'm really surprised, Bill, that this thing hadn't blown wider than it is.
Yeah, me too.
You have to kind of wonder if people are playing with a full deck, especially after what happened with Katrina and the hurricanes in the past. I mean, do these people not understand what it means when it is pretty much made apparent that you must leave?
Well, yeah, where was the reason we didn't have a big ramp up of preparation for this hurricane is because it didn't happen during a convention, a political convention?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I got I could care less about, you know, Rick Perry, where he stands, the governor of Texas. But still, I mean, they made it emphatically clear that if you stayed in Galveston Island, that you had the potential of dying. I mean, I've never heard any state government ever saying if you don't leave, you're going to die. I mean, that's a pretty heavy statement to be making to the citizens, is it not?
Yes, and I would get the hell out of there, but I can still understand the mentality of people that, you know, they love their property, they want to protect their property. They're probably concerned that, well, it's not really as bad as they're going to say, and we'll ride it out. And then, you know, they just want to stick around to make sure that whatever they have is left is safe. And I can understand that mindset, not that I would do it,
right.
But I can understand how people would be thinking that way. And I think from what I did see is that was generally the thinking of the people that stuck behind. But anyway, let's move on. As things continued to develop in the madness that is the 2008 presidential election, the next most popular thread, over 400 replies, is titled McCain's Pick Is, and it's coming back from late August, posted by BKN Apple 32, who in his little custom title says he is the Fox Mulder of ATS. begins a thread talking about Governor Palin as McCain's vice presidential pick. And it was just mayhem after that on ATS. That was literally
the mayhem's an understatement.
The vice presidential selection that launched 1,000 lost minds.
Boy, that's a classic line, Bill. I love that.
That's really what it is. And it was just an explosion of threads supporting her, knocking her to pieces, and just, you know, and everything in between, from rumor to mayhem and back to I think we had like maybe only one or two actual facts about her posted for a while there. I think people got her name right, and that was one of the only facts that were correct for a while there.
I said this in a post somewhere on the site. Who knows? You'll have to Google Dave Rabbit in the AboveTopSecret.com website and find it. But I made a comment 2 months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, that after the Hillary Clinton thing, to where they decided, Obama decided that he wasn't going to make Hillary his running mate, whatever, I said at the time I thought the smartest thing that McCain would do would be to find a female running mate, because I felt like Obama, and here again, I want to preface this by saying I don't give a rat's ass who wins. They're politicians. You know, if they come through with a tenth of what they're promising right now to the voters, I'll be really surprised. So I don't give a rat's ass. But that said, I think that, you know, that was the smartest thing that McCain could have possibly done, is once Obama decided not to include Hillary on the ticket, thus bring in the women vote and the people that were really wanting to have a woman in the political archives of Washington, D.C., that was a smart choice. It was an absolutely smart choice on his part. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, I was going to save this. Let me jump right to another Palin thread that's a little further down the list. But it happened a little bit later. Jamie83 posted a thread that got over 300 replies titled "Palin versus Obama, Who Has More Experience?" And he went on to try to make the case that Governor Palin has actually more political experience than Obama to be chief executive of anything.
Right.
Now, what I want to do is frame the issue a little bit different. And let's imagine you're a stockholder in IBM, okay?
I wish.
Well, I mean, let's imagine that you're okay. a significant...
Okay. How much stock do I have? A lot?
Enough to pay attention to what IBM does.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so yeah, you get the crap in the mail to vote on the different things at the quarterly events, where you do get a chance to vote on something as a stockholder. I'm not sure how it would go for IBM, but I just picked IBM out of the hat because it's a giant company. Okay, stockholder in a giant company, could be any company. Let's say IBM, and the CEO has to step down, and you get this mailing from IBM that starting next week, the new CEO was formerly the general manager at a grocery store in Idaho.
Yes.
that's essentially what these people are trying to pass off as someone like Palin, who could step in to be the chief executive if 72-year-old McCain happens to not be available to be president.
Right.
That's a comparable bit of experience for the two different jobs, don't you think?
Oh, of course. There's no question. There's no question in my mind.
So,
you know.
So the when you say he made a smart choice, it's a smart choice strategically, purely for the fact of creating enough disruption in the campaign so as to avoid issues that he's weak on when it comes to the election.
Yeah.
Palin isn't a pick to be a vice president. She's a pick as a strategic tactic, rather. More it's not really a strategy. She's a pick as a tactic in an effort to win the election. A good choice for vice president.
And you know, the Democrats are actually standing up and taking notice of that fact too, I believe, Bill, because they're all pushed out of shape because of that. Because before that, they thought there was just absolutely no way Obama could lose. But now, because McCain had picked Sarah Palin, that definitely throws a monkey wrench in what they thought was the sure thing.
And they've deflected the discussion away from McCain, where the pundits and the lunatics on all the different TV shows are comparing Palin and Obama now. And it's a smart tactic, and it's working. And the Democrats are falling for it because, you know, they're like invertebrates. They have no backbone. They haven't had backbone for years. So they're just flopping around on the beach.
Send those U2Us, Carol.
Bill at the Above Network LLC. All right, go ahead, Bill.
Well, it's true.
Well, you know, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, my Lord, I mean, you know, here's the deal. I mean, here's the deal. And I want to again preface this by saying, I don't give a rat's ass. I don't trust any of them. But that said, you know, I love the comparison that they're making, that all these knuckleheads are making between Obama and Palin, only from the standpoint that they're trying to compare apples and oranges, you know? I mean, and I don't mean that in the sexist way, but they really are comparing apples and oranges. I
Does
mean,
that
Sarah
orange have a stick?
Well, yeah, but Sarah Palin, you know, at least she has, and I'm not defending the broad, you know, I'm just saying she
the
has
broad.
At least. What? She
has. Those YouTubes.
That's right. Not sexist at all, Dave.
Stop it. She at least has, you know, the experience that where she's running the state and all this other stuff. And I'm not knocking Senator Obama because I mean I think he has a lot of positive things too. I think it was a smart, categorically methodical pick on McCain's part. You know, and now everything's kind of got sidetracked, and now it's not McCain and Obama, it's Palin and Obama, which is, I don't know who started that concept, but you know, it's really distracting from the things. You know,
hold on there, Bunny Rabbit.
I'm listening to you. Talk to me, baby puppy.
You say she's, you know, doing her thing, running the state. Alaska is pretty much one of it's autopilot. What's to run?
Well,
there's
I know
so but, much. Yeah. There's so much oil industry there. So much of the state's infrastructure is set up to support the oil industry, and then the oil and the proceeds from that funds almost everything that happens in the state. It's almost an autopilot state, and what the state of Alaska is the population of what, Santa Barbara?
Maybe, but hey, I think she looks good in a miniskirt. Have you seen that picture floating around?
How did I know eventually you'd get to something like that, Dave?
Oh, I think she's hot. I think she's hot. You know, Tina Fey does her justice. I think Tina Fey's hot. Which I'd like to say that was an amazing resemblance factor that Tina Fey did on Saturday Night Live.
What I think this has done, and we're blowing right past all the threads, and we might as well get to the other stuff. So, the hell with it. But no, what I think this has done is it's showcasing the mockery that our presidential campaign has become.
Yes.
I don't know how long you guys have been paying close attention, but the first real campaign I remember paying attention to, I was still relatively young, but it was Ford and Carter for me. And for me, that's when I really started to pay attention to what's going on, and then Reagan, Carter, and then, you know, it was everything after that. And it seems as though the George Bush Sr. campaign and that era, that election, is when things began to turn really funky in presidential elections. I mean, there was always the mudslinging.
Right.
But I mean, for example, there was some sportsmanship, if you will, where while the one party had their convention, the other party backed off. And they sort of waited in the shadows for them to have their convention, for them to have their day, because they know, in turn, when they have their convention, the other party is going to be as somewhat gentlemanly and not, you know, be slinging the mud, just going crazy while that's going on. So they allow each other to have their moment in the sun. That's gone. I mean, McCain was just, you know, trying as hard as he can to get attention during the Democratic convention and vice versa. And likewise, just all the crazy ads that are based from both sides. It's not just McCain. It's both sides that are just based on everything from really bizarre exaggerations of things that are presented as fact to outright lies. And yeah, it's true that that's always been going on. But do you guys feel that this year, this time, it's like reached an impossible peak?
John?
I think it's interesting for me to try to even foretell what type of new time low we could get to.
Imagine, did you ever, what the hell universe, bizarro world are we in where Karl Rove gets on Fox News and says the Republican candidate went too far? What?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, too, I mean, you know, let's face it, the Hollywood community has always been pro-Democratic. You know, I mean, they really have been. I mean, I'm sure there's some Republicans thrown in there amongst the midst. But, I mean, the majority of them that come out, I mean, they're obviously very Democratic as far as the party goes. Now, what I find totally amazing is someone as popular as Oprah Winfrey, not that I watch Oprah Winfrey, but I just happen to know that she has made the statement that she, you know, definitely is supporting Obama. Well, now that's a no-brainer. She's black. He's black. Okay, I understand that. But she's actually said and been quoted as saying that she is not interested in having anybody on the Republican ticket on her show. Now, you know, I don't recall ever hearing anybody that was in a talk show scenario hostess thing ever refused to give equal time, you know, to the other party. I mean, hell, David Letterman's had everybody on, so has Leno, you know, and some of the other also-rans. But, I mean, I've never heard anybody just emphatically come out and say that they have no interest in allowing the other party to come on their show. Now, that surprises me. It really does. And I've never seen it
before. There is a sidebar to that story.
I love it. Go.
Yes, she has said that because someone asked her if she would. But the reality is that no one has asked to be on the show yet.
Yeah, but are they going to really ask her once she's made her statement known?
Well, she said she has had no desire, but given the equal time rules, she may have to if they ask.
But see, the equal time rules doesn't apply to her, though, because
of her audience, it could be pressed, and you know she would likely. Because of the volume of her audience, the issue could be pressed, and she would likely concede the point, and just to avoid the negative press, have that person on.
Yeah, but her audience doesn't have it's she's not a broadcasting company, right?
Well, first of all, the point could be made in favor of equal time is what I'm saying. But this, here's another example, I think, of an artificial issue. She was asked if she would, and she said, no, I don't think so. And then it was blown up into a major issue. Well, I mean, the point hasn't come up yet. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened where either her producer was approached by Palin's team to say, hey, we would like to see if we can get Palin on the show. That hasn't happened yet. So that's why I'm saying it's an artificial issue until it happens. But it was blown out of proportion and made a big deal about. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
And that's the problem that we have now in political discussion is we have just a boatload of artificial issues, artificial conspiracies and just muckraking happening, and ATS just was going nuts for a while. It was just overboard with just rapid fire threat against Palin, against Obama, against McCain, and on and on and on from every possible different angle. And we finally just had to say enough is enough.
Speaking of which, that'd probably be a perfect segue for what you would be. And then we can drop back to the other thing.
Yeah, you're talking about one about the pig?
The one about the pig. No, I'm talking about the thread titled "A Call to Action, Ending the Political Games in ATS."
Oh, sorry, I scrolled down too far.
Yeah, now we've completely blown through the order of that list, and
you don't want to cover the pig first.
We could get back to the pig, as an example of why we went here.
What is this, a deliverance segment or what?
Yes, no, let's not go there.
Okay.
So what we instituted was a very strict policy where new threads in the political forums must be based on either a candidate's stated platform and have an analysis of that platform or their party's platform or something that they've said in a news article that clarifies a point of their platform, or be based on a news item in a major news source. Blogs and YouTube videos no longer allowed. So the point that we're trying to finally get to is to talk about issues and not about all this muckraking and innuendo and mayhem and rumors and lipsticks on pigs, so that we
actually rainbows on kittens,
right? Because that's what's happening. That's what's going on between these two parties. Is they're throwing out all these distractions and just trying to play a blame game and just get you to hate the other guy. Right. Rather than understand what one of them stands for so that you can make an informed vote.
Wag the Dog.
I love Wag the Dog. That's a great movie. Like,
no, it is beyond Wag the Dog. I mean, they're doing a shake and bake on a whole kennel.
All right, can we do a I love that. Can we do a minor sidebar, Bill?
Kennel
please?
And bits.
All right. Yeah, kennel and bits. I love it. Well, would you explain to the members and guests of the Above Network LLC, AboveTopSecret.com, and ATS Mix Show, what a troll is considered to be on our site?
What is a troll?
I ask you first.
Yes. Yeah, right. The term internet troll has pretty deep roots, and generally it's someone who jumps into a conversation, posts crap just to have fun posting crap, and then watches the results. And once he's ready to jump in and post more crap, sits back and just has fun disrupting conversations. You know, trolling is basically what it is. And they may or may not believe in their position. They may just be making crap up to disrupt the discussion and have fun and have their little laughs or lulls in the background. And that's generally it. They serve no point. It's a completely selfish act to entertain themselves.
Okay. Well, while we're on the selfish act to entertain themselves, Johnny and I have it on good authority, and we don't
Wait
have
a
the
minute. Don't include me here.
Oh, I have to. We lost the recording, so we don't have it to play on this show. But we did have a phone call from Agent X, and he told me something that I want you to verify one way or the other, Bill, please. And that is, he has it on good authority, and where he gets his information, who knows, that the RNC, the Republican National Committee, had a PR firm or whatever, and that they were doing a massive amount of attendance on the site and trying to sway or move threads in a certain direction to their own agenda. Is that true or not true?
We have data that allows us to speculate that may be true. I also feel without any shadow of a doubt that, you know, if one so-called side is doing it, the other side is doing it as well. There is a internet service provider that provides pretty much all of the internet technology and connectivity for the Republican National Committee, and they have been observed having a huge spike in access to Above Top Secret, where just a month ago it wasn't even a trickle; it was just an occasional visit, and suddenly it's thousands of visits and even visits that appear to be members who are logged in, and that they're spike in activity appears to also coincide with the spike in maddeningly divisive political rhetoric on hundreds, if not thousands, of threads throughout ATS.
Right.
Now, it's difficult to try to correlate that to the Democrat side, because they don't have they appear not to have a similar single technology provider like the Republicans do. So it's difficult to really tell if it's also happening, but I'm certain it is. However, the funny thing is that once we instituted this policy on the 11th of September, oddly enough,
really,
we've seen an incredible decrease in traffic from that particular source.
Interesting.
Yes, it is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that really is.
Then my next question would be, I guess, of course, we all are on the side every day. You know, I'm there a lot. You're there. You're definitely there a lot, Bill, because of all the things you got going on with the site and stuff. We've all kind of seen these U2Us, and we've seen these little emails and messages or whatever, you know, in our secret place, you know, where people are going, well, how come a thread of mine was removed and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, on the other hand, it's overwhelming positive from the established members and guests that come there that they're glad to see a lot of this bickering and this BS that was being posted to get out of there. So I think it's had a positive effect.
Yeah, I do too. There is a small minority of members that are really complaining about the policy, and they were the people that were really involved in all the divisive rhetoric, where they were focusing more on really, and I'm going to go non-FCC compliant, so brace yourself, just really the bull side of politics. And they became very angry with our policy. And I've not yet seen one of these people participate in a thread that's actually talking about the policy of a candidate. They have no interest in that. Their only interest is the muckraking, the mudslinging, and the innuendo creation that disrupts discussion of policy. So I think what we've done is this policy has the ATS policy, and only talking about real issues, has done two things. It's reeled in the political discussion, but it's also highlighted members that have no interest in facts, which is a pretty good thing to have in your back pocket as we get closer to the election.
That gives me a chance to do an interesting segue into another topic that you had given us.
Another segue?
Yeah, imagine that. Well, of course, if you don't know, as of today, the Associated Press is saying that the U.S. government has agreed to provide an $85 billion emergency loan to rescue the huge insurer AIG. And, you know, I mean, this is one of the nation's largest insurance carriers.
The world's largest.
Yeah. And you go into a thread, Bill, that I want us to get into it, and where it's called Economy in Recession, Is It Just More Liberal Lies? So if you'll take us along that path, I would appreciate it.
I mean, everything becomes, it's amazing how some people can turn almost anything into propaganda from the other side of the political spectrum on which they sit.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened here is a member started a thread that got a lot of activity. Economy in recession, is it more liberal lies? I want to dispel once and for all, he writes, the ongoing lies being put out to be liberals and being accepted as truth by the ill-informed and ignorant masses who have no idea what they are talking about. For months, liberals have talked about how the economy is in a recession. And some have even gone so far as to say this is the worst recession in U.S. history and that it was brought on by George Bush. Hello, we are not in a recession. And he goes on to try. I have no idea how
he must
anyone,
be on Mars. That's all I can figure.
Well, it's beyond a political cynic, because a political cynic will say something he knows isn't true, but he knows it will sway people that don't know better. But this is like fiction writing, really, is what this thread is.
Yeah, this guy didn't have, he doesn't have a clue, nor is he getting his numbers correct.
And his ass was summarily handed to him in several dozen times throughout the thread.
You know, before we get off on this thing, on the recession thing, I mean, my Lord, I can't remember a time other than back when the real estate market had their huge collapse in the 80s.
and the oil industry started really having some serious problems in Texas especially. I cannot remember a time that I've seen shakier economy than I'm looking at on a day-to-day basis. I mean, every day there's something that is being announced or whatever, another bank going down the tubes or whatever. And I, you know, it really scares the hell out of me. I don't know about you guys.
Who was it that just recently filed bankruptcy? Wasn't that the Lehman Brothers?
Yeah, yes. Lehman Brothers just filed bankruptcy. I mean, my Lord, you know.
There's been a good number of rescues, and this is another rescue. I guess the U.S. government will have an 80% stake in AIG. And here's a thought, and I'm going to have to leave this as a thought as we close out this segment of the overview. But here's something that I read about briefly on a post in ATS Today. I can't remember where it was. I was frantically trying to find it before we started, but I'm sure our members who listen will be able to sort it out and look more deeply at this line of investigation. And we're getting back into conspiracy theory. What are, you know, the possibilities for conspiracy in ATS? Now, look at what's just happened from a totality standpoint. When you condense it down to where we sit right now in the financial sector, the United States is more communist than China. The government owns major portions of our financial sector.
Yep.
And so, and that all happened pretty fast. I mean, it wasn't a slow ride. Suddenly there's failures and here comes the Fed on the white horse to rescue the day. But was that the intended result? Was this meltdown fashioned in order for that to be the result? And I forget where I saw it posted, but somebody had a relatively brief but really intelligent post that postulated that point of view. And it would be interesting to get some research and to look back as to how this shaped and what some of the analysts were saying about where things were going and how long ago this was going. And if you think about then even broaden your point of view further into the conspiracy theories surrounding the New World Order, well, you know, the U.S. federal government taking over portions of the financial sector is part of the whole New World Order conspiracy theory as one more brick in the wall taking us to that New World Order.
Right.
So it was an interesting point of view and something that makes you step back and go, oh, crap.
For years, I've said that ever since I first heard about the Trilateral Commission coming up with this idea of coming up with a regional currency many, many years back, I always thought that the only way that they could make this happen would be if they were able to bring the economy to its knees, and then they would say, hey, look, we've come up with this miracle idea, which is we're going to combine Canada, United States, and Mexico, have a regional currency similar to the euro, and all our worries will be gone.
Poof.
Poof.
Yeah, there's going to be more than that that's gone. You know, I want to end this segment, Bill, with a final thing, and that's the absolutely amazing investigation that took place at the James Gilliland Ranch with Mark Allen, Stephen Melzer, and of course our own beloved Johnny Anonymous. And as everybody knows, we have put up a thread on AboveTopSecret.com entitled Robbie Williams UFO Interview at Gilliland Ranch. And I am happy to say, as of right now, it has 229 flags, 181 stars, and this is a part I really like. It has 69 digs. And I'm trying to figure out some way to freeze it at 69, but I don't know if that's going to be successful since the skeptic overlord has control over when he can stop things.
You could always take a screenshot of it.
Well, I did. Okay. Are you kidding? I did take a screenshot of it. It's going to be part of my new avatar I'm creating. But anyway, can I just simply say no, yes?
No, you cannot.
Oh, okay. Jump.
No, I want to jump in and say that that's been such an excellent experience for ATS to have this happen, and I wanted to see if Johnny will let any cats out of any bags and give us any heads up as to if he thinks there's something interesting on the DVDs that came in today's package.
Yes, I do. And would it be safe to say that by the time this is airing, that will already be up, or?
I'm not certain. There's a couple other site technology issues that will take priority, but I think it's okay. We can, you know.
We can go ahead and mention it, you think?
Yeah, either will or it won't. Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm the guy in charge. I can say go ahead. Screw it.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, in our first, in group one of the Ranch Report, we dealt with some of the things that we experienced and what people thought may or may not be in this group, we take it a step further and we actually try to not necessarily disprove, but duplicate and replicate some of the events that we captured on video to see if it is possible for organic particulates or whatever could possibly be the result of what it was that we captured. And then we also go another step, which was actually surprising for me. I was not expecting this at all. We ended up getting some very interesting and different audio that was captured while we were videotaping. And so that is going to be something that I think a lot of our members and guests that stop by AboveTopSecret.com are going to raise their eyebrows and go, well, now what is that?
All right, excellent. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I'll see if I can get to those, start to at least rip them tomorrow and then have a look. But I want to also toss in that you and I and a lot of other people on ATS would really love it if we find some definitive piece of evidence that shows that thing right there shouldn't be there. It's incredibly unusual, and it sparks a lot of more serious investigation. I think it's ultimately just as valuable if our in-depth investigation ends up saying, you know what, there's nothing interesting happening at Gilliland Ranch.
And you make a good point, Bill, because, I mean, and we've all been keeping track and all the mod squad and the owners and whatever, you know, on this particular Robbie Williams UFO interview at Gilliland Ranch that's posted on the site. When you go through and look at the endless amount of pages, I mean, my Lord, I think it's up to, what is it up to now, 22, 23, 21. Okay, it's up to 21 pages right now. And in almost every instance, there are a majority of them that are very appreciative of all the work that, you know, the investigative team has done. Especially, there's a lot of kudos, and John, may I take this opportunity to say on behalf of myself, your partner, how much I personally appreciate the absolute mind-numbing job that you've done to go through 120 hours of seeing the two stupid same trees. And trying to sort through all this stuff just to present it to the members.
Well, unfortunately, there's still unfortunately 50 plus hours to go. So.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not counting the cartoons. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
But yes, my brain has become mush staring at the same two damn trees and a mountain.
Was that a mountain? Okay. Anyway, but my point is that, you know, I think everybody is just really thankful to everybody. And Bill, you really hit on the point, and this is where I'm really going with this thing, is that, as you say, it doesn't matter if we find the holy grail that you hold in your hand or not. It's the fact that we made an independent attempt to find the truth, okay, about this place. And if we find nothing other than, well, that's unusual and that's unexplainable or whatever, that's at least more than any of the mainstream media would do, you know, to at least put it to their membership or put it to whoever and let them make their own opinions without a mainstream media slant to it. That's the point, I guess, really, I'm making.
That's quite correct, Dave. What we're doing is we are just presenting exactly what we saw in document. We're not trying to put our own spin on it. We are going to be passing this on to professionals, hopefully, that will be able to give us more of a clue of what it is. And if it turns out we caught nothing at all, well, then that's fine. We made the effort, and we did the best we could in this preliminary investigation.
And before we end, I just want to give one major plug through the technology of the Skeptic Overlord. If you've gone to the board home at all, you've seen the newest promotional thing that's going up there, which I absolutely love, Bill. What a masterful job you did. And basically, you got a little graphic up at the top, and the neat thing about this graphic is it says, question, where does a best-selling author go for the best new material? Answer, www.abovetopsecret.com, and it's about Jim Marr's new book, which is entitled Above Top Secret, which will be on the store shelves in November of 2008. Is that correct, Bill?
That is correct, and what's really exciting about this is we are literally following on the heels of his current book, which just came out almost a month ago now, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, and that is right now currently on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeehaw.
Well, Yeah, and you know, we all greatly value our friendship with Jim Mars, and what a marvelous author he is, and I know there's a bunch of people that are chomping at the bits to read the new book that he's coming out in November,
I've read it, and it's fantastic.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is really an incredible examination of about 15 core topics that are on ATS, and in a way that only Jim could possibly do.
Isn't it true that people can go to like Amazon.com and pre-purchase it now?
Yes, and Barnes & Noble and so on. You can walk into your Barnes & Noble store and reserve a copy, and I think the advanced orders are at a discounted price also.
And there's also a rumor that people will be able to possibly get an autographed copy by the Amigos and Jim Mars himself. Is that correct or not?
That is correct, but it's going to be at a premium price, because you can imagine the cost that we will incur circling these books around to get all of us knuckleheads to sign them.
Well, we could just have like a pajama party one night and just, you know, have a little book signing party, yeah? or maybe not.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. Well, anyway, we can't thank you enough, because I know you want to get back, and you and Mrs. Overlord want to see episode one of Friends, the new sci-fi TV docuseries by J.J. Abrams. And do what?
Getting paid for these fringe plugs?
No, but we're slumming trying to get us some sponsors for the ATS Mix, so I figure if I throw enough free stuff out there that maybe one of them will jump on and pay us. So anyway, Bill, we really appreciate your time. I know you were really rushed this evening and gave us some extra time that you really didn't have to do, but we always appreciate talking to you, and we will see you next week.
Awesome, guys. Take it easy.
Okay. Thanks,
right.
Bill.
Bye-bye, Bill.
All right.
All right, there you go. That was a great Skeptic Overlord show, I thought, Bill. Bill. Johnny?
Hi. Yes, it was. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, and so what do we got coming up next here, John Rue? Commercial?
Sure, why not?
I love the commercials.
Hi, everybody. Dave Rabbit here from the ATS Mix Show. And I want to tell you, I've got something that's really fabulous coming your way, and we want each of you to be a part of this experience. Last year, my partner, Johnny Anonymous, and I attended the Bay Area UFO Expo in San Jose, California. This year, the founder of the event, Victoria Jack, invited Johnny and I back again. I can't believe it, neither could Johnny, but it's fact. We are going to be attending the 10th annual Bay Area UFO Expo, this year located in the beautiful Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara, California. Now, it's going to be held this year on September 27th and 28th of 2008. There's going to be all kinds of vendors there. There's going to be all kinds of speakers there. There's going to be all kinds of special featured guests, which I cannot mention because it's top secret. But there's going to be all kinds of things about UFOs, alien encounters, Earth mysteries, government cover-ups, and so much more that I just don't have the time to mention. But you can find out more information by going to abovetopsecret.com/forum. Go to the ATS Mix information area, and you'll find a thread that says Meet Dave and Johnny at the Bay Area UFO Expo. Now, for those of you that are members of the abovetopsecret.com family, you have some really special opportunities. Number one, you can ask questions for the guests that are listed there on this particular thread. And number two, and probably more important, is that you will get a chance to win 10,000 ATS points for bringing us a can of Bush beans and being one of the first 10 that do it. So there's a couple of incentives right there. And actually, we're going to actually probably eat the Bush beans, or either that, or we'll autograph the Bush beans and give them back to you. And you can sell them on eBay. Now, won't that be fun for everybody? Okay, and then now I tell you something else that's really going to be amazing. Johnny and I are probably going to do all kinds of crazy stuff like we did last year, and it's kind of like we were Pac-Man Jones with the Dallas Cowboys. Last year, I thought Johnny and I were going to get absolutely banned for all the shenanigans that we did. I mean, we were going through the expo area with all the exhibitors, and we were singing Edelweiss, and we were getting a group together, and we were doing this and doing that, and we were singing songs, and I don't know how many renditions of Do You Know the Way to San Jose that Johnny and I sang last year, but it was absolutely chaotic fun to the 10th degree. And this year is going to be even better. And I can't wait to meet a lot of you guys and gals out there that are fans of the ATS Mix Show. And as we're approaching our 100th show, I mean, we want to thank each and every one of the 23 million subscribers and fans that we have accumulated in the last year. And if you like more information, as I say, you can go to abovetopsecret.com/forum. Go to the ATS Mix information and find the thread that says Meet Dave and Johnny. You can also go directly to the Bay Area UFO Expo site, which is located at www.thebayareaufoexpo.com. And this is also located on all the different pages. It shows the artwork with all the guests and whatever. So please come join Johnny Anonymous and yours truly, Dave Rabbit, for a weekend of fun on September the 27th and 28th of 2008 at the Marriott Hotel, Santa Clara, California, at the 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo. And for those of you that fly in, you fly in through the San Jose International Airport. And the hotel is about 5 minutes away from that location. So, hope to see all of you there. Peace and love, everybody.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.